This audio tape contains questions posed to Dr. John R. Lee by women in the audience at a recent speech before 2,000 women in Atlanta, Georgia. His speech concerned his research into hormone replacement therapy and his conclusion that synthetic hormones are causing many serious health problems for American women. This audio tape will probably not be meaningful to you if you have not listened to Dr. Lee's speech, which is available on a separate audio cassette. Listen now as Dr. Lee provides very authoritative and frank answers to all questions posed by members of the audience.
The more we get into this, the more you'll see that the subject is really quite big, and it covers every aspect of health. And the problem is you're going to have is with your doctor getting the thought through to him that progesterone deficiency and estrogen dominance are real things, and there are things he can do to test for it and to try to restore balance. My whole goal is to restore normal physiological balance. That's why I choose these creams that have the right amount of progesterone in them. So anybody have a question back there?
Really, could you talk just a bit more about fibroid tumors and the deficiency of progesterone?
Right, yeah. Fibroid tumors, as you know, are an overgrowth of connective tissue, fibrous and muscle tissue in the wall of the uterus. And the main cause of this is that estrogen induces a proliferation of cells, and some of these cells actually migrate into the muscle wall of the uterus. And of course, they go through the bleeding part, and the blood may not drain out because it's too deeply embedded, and that creates an inflammatory reaction. Blood out of its normal channels is very inflammatory to muscle and connective tissue. And if you want to prove that, you could just take some blood out of your arm and have somebody inject it into your seat and muscle or your arm or someplace, and you'll have pain that takes weeks for it to go away. At any rate, this inflammatory reaction creates a balling up or an overgrowth or a tumor, like a scar-like formation. It can develop into very large tumors. And every month, as estrogen comes along, each month it's stimulated to grow. Estrogen stimulates the growth of fibroids. So what I regard all fibroids as due to estrogen dominance. And the way to balance that is to restore normal progesterone levels and to maintain that until you go through menopause. And then you can reduce your progesterone, because the estrogen level will go low enough so you won't be having periods anymore, and the fibroids will eventually atrophy. And only the very large fibroids will not respond enough, so that those you might have to have surgery on. But those up to the size of a grapefruit, you can manage fairly well with progesterone. And so I put people on a physiological dose of progesterone, either from day 12 to day 26, or I might start even sooner. If you're not interested in having babies, say you're 38 years old and you have a grown family, you can start the progesterone by day 8 or day 10 and go to day 26 and cover that estrogen period for a longer period of time. And that will help. The fibroid tumor will regress in size, but usually only about 30%. And then as you go through menopause, it will atrophy. So it's a good treatment.
I have a friend who has breast cancer and uh-huh. done chemotherapy. Will this help her?
You're right. Very good question. The question was about breast cancer and what to do. I believe that it's wise, if the breast cancer is identified, to remove the primary. There's a couple of things that need a little looking at. What was diagnosed as breast cancer as little recent as 2 or 3 years ago was often one that was called a ductal carcinoma in situ. You know what that means, in situ? That means it hasn't formed a tumor yet. It's just what looks like little cancer cells scattered here and there in a normal breast around the milk duct. But it's not a tumor that's in situ. It's in the site someplace. And this was called a cancer, and it was subject, people would have mastectomies, they had chemotherapy, radiation therapy, and they had wonderful cures. Well, the fact is that this cancer in situ is not a real cancer. And they would have the same cures by just changing the diet and getting away from the estrogen stimulation. And you didn't need to do all this. And so now the pathologist finally recognized that much of what was called cancer and was then referred to as a cure was not a cancer in the first place. And this is why there's a small percentage of people who seem to have been benefited by mammograms and by early discovery. And what they found was little cancers that couldn't be found any other way and were never going to kill the woman anyway. So, but let's just say we have someone who has real cancer, and it's a growing mass of cells, and she's at risk of metastases, having it go to other parts of her body. And they do a test on the cancer cell to see if there are receptors for estrogen or progesterone. And then they call estrogen negative or positive and progesterone negative or positive. Those are for receptor sites. What to do? That people call me all the time. Well, it's fairly easy. You just never, never take estrogen again. Number one. You modify your diet to avoid the xenoestrogens. That is, you start eating a plant-based diet with plenty of beans and legumes. Legumes are all the bean family. There's hundreds and hundreds of beans that the American eaters don't know much about. We grow more soy in the United States and export more soy than any other country in the world, and we eat less soy per person than any other country in the world. We grow it all, and we don't even know how to eat it. Soy is loaded. There's a compound found in soy called genistein, which is a marvelous phytoestrogen, phyto. That's an estrogen. It's a compound in plants. Phyto means from plants. It has mild estrogenic activity, and it occupies the receptor sites. So it protects your estrogen receptors of ever being overloaded. It's wonderful stuff. So we should change the diet, and we should go on progesterone. And people will say, well, my doctor said my tumor was positive for progesterone receptors. And I say, good, because now the cell has a chance of receiving the good message from progesterone. The good message is don't multiply, don't proliferate, don't make so many of your cells, mature, differentiate, become the cell you should be. That's the message of progesterone. If the cancer cell is so primitive, it has no receptors for progesterone, then the progesterone will probably have no benefit. However, a negative test for receptors is not necessarily accurate. It may be it's already occupied with progesterone, then it won't show up. You see the way they do the test? They put in a compound that will bind to the receptors, and this compound will fluoresce, will make a glow. And they can measure the amount of glow, and then they can determine how many receptors were there. If the receptors are already occupied, then the fluorescent compound won't have a place to land. So a negative test isn't really isn't that accurate anyway. So my recommendation for all of them is the same. Learn how to eat, stay away from the xenoestrogen, get the phyto, and don't take any estrogen, but do take the progesterone.
We want to thank you for being such a visionary in this area, and we recommend you move to Atlanta and be the resident physician here at the cathedral.
I'm hoping to spread. Everybody becomes a doctor when they get this.
But I do have two questions. You've answered everything for me personally, but I do have two questions that maybe other people would want to ask. One is, does it affect the male prostate situation that's so prevalent in this day and age? And the other question is, because they use estrogen as a very positive thing now with women in heart situations, if you could answer those.
Okay, let me take the second one first. Estrogen is the number one prescription sold drug in this country. Do you realize that? Number one. Unbelievable. Women are turning away from it. Intelligent, assertive women are refusing it. So they're scrambling for a bigger market. They've got this down. They got their patents going. They want to make millions and millions of bucks. So they're coming up saying you got to take it for your bones. You got to take it because it's good for your heart. Well, there was one study done, the Harvard nurses study, that claimed it was. But you realize there's been 16 studies done where they didn't find any heart benefit from estrogen. A couple studies found that there was more strokes and heart disease on the women taking estrogen. And the Framingham study, which is the only long-term, ongoing epidemiological study in the United States, they have about 30, 35 years of data of all the people in Framingham, Massachusetts, and they can't find any connection, any heart benefit from taking estrogen. So I looked at the nurses' study, the Harvard study, very carefully, and they're not reporting it very accurately. It was true that out of the 42,000 nurses, there were 111 deaths from heart disease, And those 111 that we're talking 0.2%, right? Out of those, it tended to favor the women taking the estrogens. However, they weren't comparing equal groups, because those nurses who weren't taking the estrogen, their doctors hadn't prescribed it for them because they had such bad risk factors for heart disease. They were the fat, diabetic, cigarette-smoking, non-exercising women with previous vascular disorders. You understand, these are the women who are at a greater risk. So I wrote to the authors of the study saying, how did you compare the two groups? The estrogen-taking women were the slim, non-cigarette-smoking, tennis-playing, healthy women. Naturally, there'd be a few fewer heart attacks. They said, oh, well, we accounted for that and adjusted it with a figure. I said, well, what sort of adjustment? How did you know how much to adjust it? Well, there's no satisfactory answer for that. Then I realized they hadn't told the doctors in this study, I mean, the report from the study, about the strokes. Turns out there was a goodly number of strokes, too, that nurses died of, and that strokes were 48% higher in the estrogen-taking women. Whoa! So they're talking about 6 women out of 42,000 as being so important, and they're not telling people that 48% higher stroke rate, the type of stroke where there's a clot that forms. They confused the doctors. Instead of calling it thromboembolic or clot stroke, they called it ischemic. They used a new word. Ischemic means the blood can't get through. And so that may have confused doctors. But I suspect the average doctor doesn't read the whole report. I think they just read the summary that the Premarin company sends out. So I don't think the argument that there's a heart benefit is worth it. We know how to prevent heart attacks. You eat a plant-based diet, you get your exercise, don't smoke cigarettes, and you load up on antioxidants. You take some vitamin C and beta-carotene and zinc and the vitamin E, and the Harvard study also showed that that reduced heart attacks by 60%. Well, that's far more important than the estrogen. So I don't think, I think they're just seeking a market for their estrogen. As far as the other study question about the progesterone, we were taught in medical school, in the good old days, you know, 40 years ago, testosterone shouldn't be given to people because it might cause prostate cancer. Well, you know, men make the most testosterone when they're like 17, 18 years old. It stays up pretty darn good, and it doesn't begin to go down until you're 70, 75 years of age. That's when it goes down. And when it goes down, that's when people get their prostate cancer. So it doesn't make sense that testosterone causes it. If they look at the scientific literature, they'll find that other people had measured the estrogen and progesterone levels, because men make those hormones too. And it finds that estradiol goes up and progesterone goes down. And the absence of progesterone may be the cause of the damage to the cells and lead to prostate cancer, just as it does to... the prostate is... The same tissue in a woman would show up as part of her uterus. And we know that uterus cancer goes up when the prostate goes down. They're the same cells. They just form a different function in men. So I would like to, and I have all sorts of individual reports where people have had prostate cancer diagnosed or just enlarged prostate, and they took their progesterone, mostly because their wife was using it, and they just wanted to see what happened, or they thought it should be good for their bones. And lo and behold, they all got better. And they call me. They tell me these things. And one person, a man in the Midwest, had prostate cancer with metastases to his bones, and he'd been at the Mayo Clinic. And they had recommended castration, and he decided to think about that. And he went home, and his wife was on the progesterone cream, and he was worried about his bones. And by the way, we know that after castration, osteoporosis accelerates in men. So removing their testosterone source will lead to osteoporosis, and that can be prevented by progesterone. Anyway, he went on progesterone, and he was feeling pretty good, so he didn't go back to the Mayo Clinic for 6 months. And he said he decided against castration. So they said, well, we'll do another x-ray and see what's happening to your metastases. They did another x-ray and they couldn't find them. Wow, isn't that something? I hate to tell people about it, you know, it's not a scientific study. But once you get 10 phone calls like that, you begin to think, I wish somebody would do a study like that. So I think there's going to be a connection. It just hasn't been worked out yet. And I would give progesterone to any man. No problem.
I'm 47 years old. I've already gone through menopause, and this sounds exactly like what I need. I have 80% of the symptoms that you talked about.
Yeah.
There. Have you shared this information with the HMO group here in the United States? It would seem to me that this would be something that they would be really interested in, since they say that they are interested in preventative care.
Right. It's a very good comment. Many of the groups that are starting up their menopause groups and HMO groups and things like that, they rely on money they obtain from commercial sources and contributions from drugs companies and so on. And there are people who have bought my book, who have sent copies to almost all of these groups, and they don't know what to do with it. They don't know who I am. They read the book and they say, how does Dr. Lee know these things? And the pharmacology, the pharmaceutical industry is spreading interesting rumors about me. They say, oh yes, we know Dr. Lee, he's Chinese and he owns half of the Progest, the company. And another one says, oh yes, we know Dr. Lee, he doesn't have control groups. We offered him money to fund a study using control groups and he refused. And or they'll say, oh, we know Dr. Lee, he's not a good scientist. And all these things are just crazy, because all I'm saying is, look, this is what I observed in 15 years of experience with literally hundreds and hundreds of patients, and if you don't believe it, go try it yourself, you know, because I get corroboration by patients every day. Patients, I never know, a patient called up from Pennsylvania just before I left. A year and a half ago, she, at 74, had a compression fracture and was found to be very osteoporotic. And her husband's a doctor and her son's a doctor, and of course she has a doctor, and that doctor brought in another doctor, and she told them she wanted to use the progesterone. And they said, that's crazy, can't work. In the first 18 months, she gained 25% more bone. Okay, so now another year has gone by, and she's up now 35% higher than she was before. And all her doctors have written notes saying, isn't that wonderful? We wouldn't have believed it had we not seen it. And it's standard. This is the way it goes. Someone who has already on a good diet, they're not smoking, they've done everything right, you add the progesterone, the bones hop too. She called me not only to tell me the good news, but to say that because there's some new synthetic compounds on the market now, her doctor had routinely sent her an ad for one of these, saying, because you have osteoporosis, you might consider using Fosamax, or whatever the new one is called, and it's a terrible thing. And she said, what are you doing? Doing the advertising for the pharmaceutical company, she wrote to her doctor. You don't even remember that I'm the one that gained 35% in 2.5 years on just progesterone alone. She said, nowhere in the literature of this new drug do they get anything over 5%. Why are you even pushing this? So that's the sort of thing. I think only by repeated personal contacts with the various groups can you get them to read it and to try it. And it just takes more and more. Okay. I got that off my chest. See? Feel better. Okay.
I went through menopause at 37, and I'm 41 now, and I've been taking both the progesterone and the estrogen for the 4 years straight.
What kind of progesterone?
I don't know.
Provera.
Probably, yeah.
It's not progesterone. See, once people read the book, they will never, never say what this lady just said. They confuse progesterone with something that isn't progesterone.
So it's a synthetic, is what I'm taking?
Oh, yeah, Provera is synthetic. That company actually makes it from progesterone. They buy the progesterone, and then they deliberately alter it into something that is abnormal, never found in nature.
Okay.
My definition of natural is it's what humans make. Synthetic is what is not found anywhere in nature.
And I've been taking it straight, nonstop.
I know.
Every day.
Yeah. That's because other women complain that if you stop, you'll have a bleeding period.
Right.
And they don't want to do that. They don't realize the bleeding is a sign they're giving more estrogen than you really need. Mother Nature did not design women to have periods till they're 95 years old. They want to give you a little break when your kids are grown and they're old enough to raise their own kids, and you don't have to raise them any more kids. So you're designed to have a nice time where you have plenty of progesterone, but not so much as to have periods anymore.
So what I want to know, though, is should I just throw my pills away?
You just stop the Provera immediately. In my humble opinion, you stop the Provera immediately. It takes weeks for that to get out of your system.
And the estrogen?
The estrogen, if you stop immediately, you're going to have menopause symptoms. You're going to have hot flashes and vaginal drying. But you can cut it to 50% as soon as you start the real progesterone.
And how would I cut it? Just take it every other day?
Or? Yep, every other day, or call your doctor and say, I want to try a lower dose. And what size are you taking?
It's a very low dose from what they told me. It's very low.
What color is it?
One's white and one's green.
Green? Well, the green one is the low dose. That's 0.3. So that probably isn't, won't cause a period. But if you want to, you can take it every other day. And do it for 24 days out of the month.
Oh, really?
Sure. And leave 5 or 6 days off. At the end of the month, you can go by the calendar.
Now, is that going to cause me to have a cycle?
Yeah, you will have cycles, but you won't have any bleeding. Because the amount of bleeding you have is directly related to the amount of estrogen that you have. The progesterone doesn't create any bleeding in anybody. It's the quitting of the progesterone each month that allows the bleeding to occur. The doctor is making the big mistake of thinking if he hides the blood up inside the uterus and doesn't let it come out, he's doing you a favor. Mm-hmm. See, no thinking.
Now, does your book tell you how to take this?
You won't find recipes because everybody's different. You understand the principles. Then you know the principle is to take a normal physiological amount of progesterone, which is 20 milligrams a day. It's easy to calculate if you know an ounce of it has 480.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do that for 24 days, that's 20 milligrams a day. And you cut the estrogen down to whatever it takes to keep so low, but it still avoids developing vaginal dryness.
But I couldn't just throw the whole thing away and not take anything.
You could, but then you'd have to tough out a few months of hot flashes and things.
But that won't hurt the bone any. See, I tried to do that once before, and I was off for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor said, oh, no, you can't do that because now your bone is really going to go crazy. You're going to lose a lot of bone loss in 3 months.
Yeah, right. By quitting abruptly, you would deliberately allow an acceleration of bone resorption, so bone loss does occur. But by doing it gradually, the hypothalamus and the bone cells tolerate.
So I could just start every other day.
Every 3 months or so, try cutting it more.
Okay.
And the progesterone will be stimulating new bone formation. See, Provera doesn't do much for new bone formation.
So just throw that out?
Just throw that out. I have to tell you, there's a study that they teach all the doctors. It's Dr. Christensen from Denmark did this study about 15 years ago. He gave women estrogen and progesterone. It was a synthetic one, but one of the good ones. I mean, relatively good, no side effects, and works quite a bit like progesterone. He had other women receiving placebos. He showed that the women on the real hormones gained 5%. The women on the false, on the placebo, lost 5%. Then he reversed the dose. So people on the placebos now gained the 5%, and the women who had gained it now on the placebo then lost it, so they ended up back the same. And on the graph, he indicates they took both estrogen and progesterone. Okay. This is what's taught to medical students, that this is the proof that estrogen builds bone. So I heard Dr. Christensen from Denmark was going to be up in Seattle, and so I went up there to be at the meeting. And sure enough, he went through that, and he explained that gave both hormones, and that he concluded that estrogen raised up. And I raised my hand, came up like you're doing. I said, Dr. Christensen, why did you conclude it was the estrogen? He said, what do you mean? And I said, well, you're giving them progesterone, too. Oh, yeah, he said, that's so they won't get cancer of the uterus. I said, I didn't ask you why. I said, you were giving two hormones, and the bone mineral density went up. When you took them off, it went down. Why did you conclude it was just one of the two that did that? Why not both? Or just the progesterone? Oh, yeah, he said, I think I see what you mean. You know, he said, if somebody would give me enough grant money, I think I could separate that out. He didn't realize how that sounded. And I said, well, for your benefit, I've already separated it out. I've given just progesterone to 100 people. And here's the slide. And it shows that they get 15% improvement. What your slide would show is that the estrogen actually got in the way. Wow. I was not very popular at that group. Yeah.
My doctor changed my prescription of estrogen to blue. I'm taking a blue pill now. And what I have found is that I'm stiff. I never had that before. I have aching muscles. And yeah. I also
Is it a blue pill that's made by the Premarin folks? Because I'm not familiar with a blue pill.
It's estrogen.
Yeah.
It's blue.
See, you understand the word estrogen. See, little semantic things have screwed up communication here. There is no hormone named estrogen.
Oh.
Estrogen is a class name, like apple. So we have Gravensteins, and we have Pippins, and we have Delicious, and we have all these. But there's no actual hormone named estrogen. Estrogen just means any compound that builds up blood in the uterus and makes breast form on any animal you give it to. Male, female, old, young, whatever. If you give it what we call estrogen, breasts will develop, and blood will develop if they have a uterus. But there is no particular hormone called, named estrogen. We have estrone, estradiol, estriol, and so on. Then we have all these dumb brand names. We have Premarin. Premarin is 48% estrone and 52% horse estrogen of different varieties. Not, they're totally foreign to us. So there might be a blue Premarin, but I can't remember. It might be something new. Or it might be a different company.
Okay.
But it should say which of the estrogens it is. It might say.
And also, I take a little white pill.
That's the Provera, very likely. Yeah.
Okay.
Medroxyprogesterone acetate. Yeah.
Okay, but what happens when I stop taking the little blue pill, I have a period.
Sure.
And I'm past that. I don't want to go through this all the time.
Yeah, right.
That's
withdrawal bleeding from quitting the hormone. And you should go back to him. You should get a copy of the book, have him read it, and he should put you on the lowest dose possible of estradiol or Premarin, and then on the proper physiological dose of progesterone, and that should solve the problem.
And I can get the cream?
You bet. You can get the cream over the counter. I where is it sold around here? Do you know?
Health food stores?
Health food stores. It is where I health food stores, pharmacies. There's a whole bunch of different ones. There's five or six good ones. The one that I first used when I first started was the only one available. It's called Progest. And now there's Happy PMS, Naturgest, Pro-Allo, Phytogest, and BioBalance. And they all have the right amount.
So would I, too, decrease my taking of the little blue pill?
Yeah, whichever one is the estrogen you want to decrease, because there's no reason to have periods at your time of life.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, good luck. But reading the book helps, because reading the book twice helps, too. Okay.
I have a question. I had a problem with Hirschism, a facial hair, and so that I talked to my physician, and she put me on spironolactone, a rather large dose, and it started a series of negative events with me, and I really became physically ill.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just wondering if the cream progesterone would probably...
Yeah, it's been sold as a good cream. You know, I didn't tell you all the things these people taught me, because some of them are hard to believe, but if they had the facial problem or skin problems like that, the progesterone was almost universal, clearing it up. People who had these keratoses, called senile keratoses, when you get old,
I've seen those.
Where the skin is exposed to the sun a lot, they get these little crusting lesions on the skin. They're thought to be precancerous.
They're not dangerous at all
because they never turn into a cancer that's going to kill you, but they grow, and people have had other things where they go to dermatologist, and he has to remove them every once in a while, burn them off. Well, these patients of mine, they all learned they can put a little progesterone in all of these, and within a couple of weeks, they all turned back to normal. And I had a call from a fellow in Colorado. They live out in the bright sun at 9,000 feet and all that, and he's a Irish-English extract, you know, and they have fair skin, and they get all these little skin cancers, and he's had these operated on all the time. He's balding, and he gets them on his nose, and he gets them all... Well, his wife just puts a little progesterone cream every time she sees one develop, and within a couple of weeks, it disappears. And... So I tell him to wear a hat and things when he goes out, but it's amazing what happens with this. The doctor called me yesterday from, just before I left, he called from Southern California, saying he's been treating all of his ladies with psoriasis, with the progesterone cream. And it may take 3 or 4 months, but all the skin is all turning back to normal.
Oh, okay.
And he asked if that's a recognized role for progesterone. I said, you know, nobody's ever written anything about it, but if it works, why not? And so he's been doing that, and he's had good result with that. And lichen planus, I don't know if you know about those little flat areas that get kind of rough called lichen planus. And there's one called rosacea, where women get the red roughening on their cheeks. They all respond to progesterone.
Okay.
Beautiful.